everybody. Welcome to UCB Long Form Conversations, episode...
Why'd you even do that? We have no idea what episode this is.
What is it, five? Six?
I've never known.
The new one, it's seven.
It's seven. Oh,
is that right?
Thank you, Siobhan. And all time, it's what, 60?
Please. I didn't even know the easy answer, and now you're making it harder. I've never had any idea. Wasn't there only like 40 of the last ones?
Maybe, I don't know.
Boy.
Life is short. This is our legacy.
Oh, God.
Sitting across from me is the mellifluous Will Hines.
Wow. Sitting across from me is the, warmly obstinate John Frusciante.
That's a great way to describe me. And this week our guest is
Siobhan. Wait, how about our intern?
Our podcast intern.
Podcast intern.
So unimportant to me that I forgot to even mention
him. The bottom rung of the ladder.
Yeah.
That's fine. If you need sandwiches, just let me know.
Maybe we could use some sandwiches. Yeah, that's right.
A lot of sandwiches.
I don't eat sandwiches, so I think you'd make them with no bread.
Hey, that's our guest.
Oh, that's our guest, Siobhan.
Thompson.
Yeah, Siobhan Thompson.
That's
me. I don't know why I balked saying your last name.
That's a lot of information.
Your last name is the easy one.
I was nervous I was going to get the first name wrong.
You nailed the first one, and then you were like, yes, I nailed it.
Yeah,
and then
you took the rest of the sentence.
That's exactly what it
off.
Was. I was so proud of myself in the moment that everything else shut down for me mentally.
Siobhan, you're on the mod team, the prom, is that right?
I am on the prom.
You're an actor in the acting role.
Actor.
Because they have actors and writers assigned
to
one. We're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to berating Cypher.
Sure.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, Cypher, maybe you can do some intern-like things and also give John advice on how to be successful since you're the most successful person in the room by about 100.
Yeah, I need a lot of advice.
We need advice and counseling and sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that joke has been hit. And we have and your intern's intern is Keaton Patty.
Yeah, Keaton's here today.
Keaton is an improv student who's in the role normally done by Ian. But Keaton, you're going to be off mic. That's your job.
Yeah.
You're just a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect meant to your position as a human. Now, Siobhan.
Yes.
We've hit our normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the podcast last week was great. I wasn't part of it.
Oh, you liked it?
I might not talk a lot after this gets going because I feel like it went really well.
No, come on. I need you.
Actually, Siobhan, what's interesting about you as a guest is that you were a newer relative to the guests that we've had in the past.
Yes.
You're among a newer member of the UCB world.
I am
That's
a
right.
noob.
Because
a lot of times we've hit historical and kind of like people from...
Old people.
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really old.
Well, let's not go crazy.
People who've been around so long that they have nothing to say because they're just bitter.
I mean, I think we're now overstating the point to where it's not true anymore. I mean, I think like...
People who don't even remember, like people with Alzheimer's who don't even really remember.
That's not...
Just start making up things.
They're
bad at improv, but they have a lot of memories from 1923.
Or weirdly only good at improv. Like they can only remember things when they happen in an improv
An incredible short-term memory and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. So, Siobhan, I'm going to have no anecdotes to drop in here. My usefulness
really
in this particular episode.
Fact,
as a color commentator. What did you do on Herald Night in 2002? Because if that didn't happen...
I was... 2002, I was in school still.
And what was your opinion at that time of the team Beverly Hills?
Where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Bristol.
Okay.
It is the school that people go to when they don't get into Oxford or Cambridge.
Ah, okay.
So it's like a mix of people who worked really, really, really hard to get into Bristol and they like are really proud of being there. And then there's the other half of people that I kind of fell into that probably should have gone to Oxford or Cambridge, but then really did no work at high school.
I see.
And were kind of bitter and slackery.
Oh, perfect actor's temperament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bristol produces... like a lot of theater type people, and they produce either like super avant-garde playwrights, like
Ooh.
Pinter went there, Mark
Ooh.
Ravenhill went there,
mm-hmm.
Sarah Kane, and then like comedians.
Wow.
So Matt Lucas and Dave Walliams went there, Simon Pegg.
Okay.
And a bunch of people who are famous in England.
What kind of
Simon Pegg is famous everywhere.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg is Shaun of the Dead and
Hot Fuzz.
Spaced. Yeah. Like, and then Asylum.
Show.
Big Train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's up, Keaton?
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it, Captain. I just don't have the power.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff did you do there at Bristol?
No comedy at all, really. I did direct
why did you go there?
Plays.
I
studied archaeology.
Huh.
I have a very useful archaeology degree, which I did use professionally for about 6 months, but basically only to save the money to move to New York.
Okay.
But it's fun, and, you know, I got to play in the mud. While everybody else was doing finals exams.
Okay.
Oh,
and,
sounds cool.
What drew you to that?
It was a compromise. My parents wanted me to do a real degree, and I wanted to go to acting school. And this was the closest to a DOS degree that I could do that was still, like, sounded like a legitimate degree.
And what's that word you said?
DOS. DOSing is an English word that means, like, bumming around, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I see. You were like, how could you scam the system but still fulfill your parents' wish?
Exactly. So I spent a lot of time in the museum drawing artifacts.
Oh, fun.
And we had a whole module where we, like, went and napped flints and made Bronze Age-style pottery.
Huh.
And it was like, a really fun, dumb degree. And then it was only, like, 6 hours of lectures a week, so I spent the rest of the time doing theater.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you mind if we jumped around in time during this interview, kind of aggressively?
Okay.
Doesn't have to be.
I haven't been at the UCB Theater in about 5 years.
Okay.
What is a mod team and what's happening? What's the prom? What's going on? Who are you, John Frusciante? Uh-huh.
Also, a very quick side note. I'm going to foreshadow here before Siobhan answers that question.
All right.
What you were just talking about archaeology and drawing stuff, is going to lead to a very fun anecdote about your mod submission.
Oh, yeah.
Which we will get to.
See, it would have been all in the right order if I hadn't spoken up.
That's all right. No, I would have waited to bring that up. What the fuck is Mod Night?
Mod Night, and where is the UCB Theater currently located?
The UCB Theater is currently located at 26th Street.
Oh, it's my problem.
Oh, I don't go below 27th Street.
It has some really great chairs. Mod Night is on every Monday. It is the house sketch teams for the UCB Theater.
Right, it goes with Harold Knight, Harold and Mod. Right. Harold is improv, Mod is sketch.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There are eight more teams. Currently, they are
in New York.
Mm-hmm. Onassis, Family, The Prom, Beige.
Every list, we never get the list right on the show.
The Prom, Beige, Super Easy. Mm-hmm.
See? You cursed yourself.
Chunk, Bellevue, and Dinner.
Nice.
Wow.
That's great.
So you get two teams every single Monday. Mm-hmm. They do a half hour of sketch comedy for your pleasure.
Pretty much all new.
All every new. Time. Mm-hmm. Every time it's new. And it goes up once, and then you never see it again.
Not always true. Generally, yes. Generally,
that is
true. If
it's like a really good
there's
show.
There's encore shows. And sometimes. Theoretically, they could redo sketches, right? But no one ever does that.
Oh, yeah. There is. It is part of a thing where you can rewrite a sketch and put it up the next month or a couple months later.
But why would you do that? Because the only reason you would do that is if a sketch bombed.
Yeah.
And why would you try and put up a sketch again if it already bombed? Just write something new.
To make it better.
Originally, that was, I think, the thing of Mod is people would be trying to perfect shows.
Right.
But I think there's so much material that people want to see and try.
Right.
They don't want to waste their...
Right.
But also there's something to be said for the idea of rewriting a sketch and the idea that rewriting
like
is...
Five,
the,
aren't there like five the writers and five actors on each
there's
team?
Six. Yeah.
Six. Yeah, so
although a lot of teams like... Sashia is on The Prom and she is an actor and
some
a writer.
Teams do have writer
so
actors.
So we have 11 people on our team.
Okay. So there's six writer slots, six actor slots, even if two of those slots are occupied by
one
person.
Exactly.
That's correct.
And then, there's like a lot of material that doesn't probably get to go up. Why would you, not waste, but why would you use time on a new shiny thing to try?
Yeah, new shiny is
understand
much more interesting
that.
Than eighth rewrite.
Right.
Eighth rewrite is not fun for anybody.
I don't think so.
So you are on the mod team, The Prom.
Yes.
Which was all new people to mod when it was formed, right?
No. Incorrect.
Okay, see, that's why it's...
Yeah.
Mostly it was people who had already been on. There were three new people, Achilles Stamatolaki, who is
we had him a couple of weeks ago when
we ridiculed
him.
Yeah,
we did.
We didn't care about what he was doing.
It's a fascinating life story that we ignored.
And then Justin Brown was also new. He's another actor on The Prom, and me. Everybody else, mostly they'd been on Dweeb and Arbuckle.
Oh, okay.
And a couple of other.
Oh, so it's like, that's interesting. I always think it's interesting when a team gets formed, whether it's all people who are new to being like on a house team and they're kind of like super excited for that, or if it's kind of vets who have kind of been through the system. You know, you see like generational teams.
Right.
Like I feel like Dinner is sort of like kind of a crusty mod team in terms of they've like been on a bunch.
Yeah, for the most part, a lot of those people have been
on Gramps. Boom.
Yep, there you go. You got it. Nice. Oh. You've done your homework on this podcast.
Hey, I listen to this podcast.
See, I already forgot that was a running joke.
Oh, no, I came in knowing it. Great. So we got that down. So You were on the Charlies before that.
Yes. I was on, I am still in a group called the Charlies.
Okay.
We formed out of Michael Delaney's 202 sketch class.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you all took the class together.
We all took the class. We were the survivors of that class. Michael Delaney is an excellent teacher, but he is not for people who are scared of criticism.
Yeah, he's not for the thin-skinned.
Right. No. A lot of like, well, I mean, commercial parodies are funny, but I mean, they're easy to write. So
yeah,
I think you can do better than this. So
yeah.
Sketch
202, by the way, in New York is just Delaney's class. Like,
yeah.
It was. There is no other 202. Theoretically, there could be, but there is no other 202 teacher right now. It was just like Delaney wanted to teach sketch. He always does whatever exactly he wants. I mean, most of the classes are on a curriculum, but there's no way we're going to get Delaney on a curriculum. So it's like, oh, why don't you just do your own? Do 202. Anybody who's finished 201 can take it, and then you just do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the Delaney class
it's
is.
It's weird that you know that, but you don't know what Maud Night is or where the theater
well,
is.
Well, I run the school, so I know what happens in the classrooms, but to my knowledge, there are no shows associated with the UCB brand name. There's a bunch of classes, then podcasts about a fictional universe of shows that I'm not part of.
Right. Okay, so you all met in that 202 class and decided, hey, we want to... let's
Yeah,
make
exactly.
Charlie's is a great name. Who's on that?
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go. Are there a lot of people?
There are.
Oh, you don't have to do it. No, because I don't want to trap you.
No,
I have
it's
myself.
Okay. No, I can name them all.
All right, but...
Dave Hill, who was on the Moore team, super easy.
Mm-hmm.
Arlene Latimer, who was on the Moore team, The Prom.
All right.
Jennifer Truting, who is on the beta team, Scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And then Colin Adelson, Tristan Griffin, and Jeremy Rabin.
Now, I don't know if it's just because you're saying it, but those names sound British to me. Tristan, Colin, Jeremy, they do, right? Yeah. And even the Charlies seems like sort of like a whimsical sort of band of childhood detectives from Britain, right?
Yeah,
is it just
it
me
does.
Making a no. weird sort of racism against the British accent?
No, it's a very specific kind of racism against the British accent.
Oh my goodness, and Cameron Fleming. I'm sorry, Cameron.
See, it happens. Cameron, it's not your fault.
Cameron,
Siobhan is subjected to
Carlin
the curse
Adelson,
of listing
Tristan
members.
Griffin.
Cameron, you're a wonderful human being.
Cameron Fleming, David Hill.
And I panicked because
it's
everybody
not your fault.
Was looking at me.
I feel guilty. I literally felt guilty earlier today for not mentioning Birch when I listed the members of Creep, which we did a year and a half ago on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And we forgot to say Birch.
You
Harms.
Felt guilty about it.
Today. About, earlier today.
About,
I was like, I got a podcast today. I got to remember if we ever list Creep that I include Birch.
That's all right. You got to let it go. Okay, so what were... Tell us about the Charlies.
The Charlies, we... On our last class with Delaney, we thought it would be hilarious to put a running gag in all of our sketches, which was a character called Charlie who walked into the room and went, I'll buy that, and then leave. Delaney did not get the joke at all.
Oh,
we
I'm
were
sure.
sitting there the whole class going,
sure,
oh my
yeah.
God, this is such a funny bit. Oh. And then he got to the end and we were like, oh, he didn't get our running joke.
Yeah.
And then he like looked back through his sketches and he like circled it. It's like, why is this person here? But hadn't actually noticed that it was in every sketch. He'd like forgotten the sketch before when he got to the next one.
That is terrific.
So yeah, that's where the name the Charlies came from.
Okay.
We started doing shows and writing videos, mm-hmm. putting them up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So one of the videos you did was Racist Zombies.
Yes.
And you did another video called Pun Intended.
Pun Intended.
Funny or Die.
Funny or Die. Mm-hmm. We did a Prince Water, which is like a commercial parody. Sorry, Delaney. For Water Made by Prince.
Okay.
Which is great. Tristan Griffin's Prince impression is uncanny.
Oh, really? That's terrific.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
I
go
was.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, see, I think... I like that story of a group coming together out of a class because I feel like improv groups form a bit more easily. I mean, because it's easier sort of just to do an improv show than a sketch show.
Yeah,
right.
A sketch show, I think, feel like is more commitment. Because you can't, it's not like a practice group where you can jump in and out of it. Like
there's production involved and there's rewriting.
Yeah, you
and
have to buy
meeting.
Props.
Yeah. And it's not as portable a show. Like you can't just do it on any, or you could, but there's challenges in whatever space
you end
up doing
it in. Right,
and
there are some spaces that we have done shows in and you learn very quickly like, oh, I don't want to do a sketch show here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This isn't fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like standing awkwardly at the edge of the stage and then making my big entrance in the costume that I'm already wearing that everybody can already see.
Yeah. When I talk with sketch teachers, like a problem is like people who are into sketch, they take a couple classes. They're like, well, now what do I do? Like, do I just have to wait to be cast on a team? Like, you don't, that's frustrating and not emotionally productive. So, yeah, I'm kind of hoping that like Maud I mean, within the UCB world, that like mod teams and maybe more sketch classes kind of creates a sketch community somehow. Like, I don't quite know what that would look like.
Yeah. But I mean, I think people should just do it. Like, if you have a sketch that you have written, you don't have to be the best actor. I mean, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like your performance isn't going to make your sketch that you've written the perfect sketch. Just get it up and go to Liquid Courage or go to BYOT at the Beast or, you know, go and...
I would like that to be true. It is difficult. Like, I'm not trying to belittle people who don't do it because it's hard. It's not as easy as making an improv. I mean, an improv practice group and doing improv shows also not easy, but it is a lower barrier to entry to make that happen.
But I'll tell you one thing that I've noticed that is very encouraging is that we're seeing more sketch spank submissions in our, for a while it was just a lot of one person shows, you know, but
is that true? Is there more groups putting stuff together?
Yeah, I'm seeing more.
I don't like when wrestling team came to town. They like do like a new show every. Some sketch groups are super prolific. Mm-hmm. I feel like I noticed them all over the place.
Yeah, and there's
Pangea was like that. They would do shows constantly.
Yeah,
and wrestling team seems to be always putting different stuff.
And you're gonna want to look out for former business partners.
Oh yeah, that's
great.
Georgie and now don't
Katie
even start.
Simon.
No, we're gonna ruin it.
I don't know who the other two are. I'm sorry.
There's four people.
Yes,
and as I know Zach Poitras was directing their last show.
Yes.
Anyway, former business partners.
They did a spank a while ago, and I thought it was really funny, and said, you know, fix it this way and that way.
It's
and
exciting.
They just did their show at Spank again, and we gave them a run because it's
cool.
Great. So, you know, I would say go and look out for them.
So the Charlies are part of a happy arc,
yes,
a narrative arc that we're seeing throughout the community.
The indie sketch community.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit. Let's jump violently backwards in time as we're jumping around. So what attracted you to comedy and sketch comedy?
Yeah.
I always watched sketch comedy pretty obsessively. It's a lot more prevalent, I feel like, in the UK. It's like a much more normal thing. I feel like here in the States, there's a few shows that people watch and call back to. There's always at least one sketch show on in the UK. And it's always...
Yeah, it
very
seems
big.
Like when people tell me, oh, you got to watch this sketch show, it's a British sketch show.
Now, are you prepared if I start asking you to like give me sort of a sense of what that landscape is like? Because I actually don't know. Like the stuff that kind of makes it over is weird. I mean, you don't know what the context is over there, right? Like here, I know that SNL is like, you know, the big gorilla. And it's both the most well-known with the most famous people, but that's also kind of mainstream maybe and not as cool sometimes, but then certain aspects of it are.
Right.
And then there's things like, I can't think of any new ones that are not like online.
Yeah, I'm,
like old school, like Mr. Show, like that is not so popular with like
Tim and Eric.
Normal people. Okay, yeah, Tim and Eric, which is like comedy aficionados know it. And it's certainly popular, but it's like, there's not water cooler discussion at like offices about the latest Tim and Eric sketch. I doubt it. Maybe like at weird graphic design firms, but like not normally.
Right.
I stuff that comes over will be like, what am I going to say his name on? Chris Norris. Like when Jam made it over a Brass Eye, but even that you could tell that seemed to be sort of like underground. So that's what I want to know. I want to know the landscape of sketch comedy. I want you to speak to an entire culture. Not really, but your impression of it, like with all qualifications and just stuff that you know.
Well, first of all, until fairly recently, there was really only 5 channels or even 4 channels in England on TV. Yeah.
Hmm.
So everybody watched the things that were on. The day-to-day was huge. Brass Eye was huge.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Really big, the Armando Iannucci experience.
Oh,
fantastic.
Right. Let's go through some of those.
Okay.
Show.
So let's talk about some of those. So there's Brass. Is it Chris Norris?
Chris Norris.
Wait, I always forget. He's like the super hilarious dude. He just did the what was the terrorist movie? Four Cells.
Everything.
Four Lions.
It was great. Great movie.
Okay, whatever. This guy's hilarious. He's like this
Chris
dark,
Norris.
Weird, intense dude, and he did like a news program, Brass Eye, that did like.
Yeah.
Really intense and crazy things, right?
Like, yeah, they got into a lot of trouble. They had a show about pedophiles, which was really pedophiles.
Yeah.
pedophiles
sounds adorable.
I wouldn't be threatened by them.
Oh, get the pedophiles in here.
They really like pita bread. Yeah, and that got a lot of like criticism because it was essentially like critiquing this culture that was around at the time in England that was like, if you leave your child with any other human being for any minute, they're definitely a pedophile, yeah, and they're going to attack them and rape your child.
Right, right, right. People just don't have a sense of humor about any kind of casual take or even non-casual.
Exactly.
Right.
But it was like a fair criticism. Like, actually, not every adult is a pedophile. It's true.
That's totally fair.
It's an entirely fair criticism of at least a ridiculous culture. Mm-hmm. But they got in a lot of trouble for that. It was pretty controversial. And they had one on AIDS that was also super controversial. They had like good AIDS ribbons. Like, it's only, if you have good AIDS, you can wear this. If you're gay and you had gay sex that was unprotected, you don't get a gay ribbon. But if you had like, I don't know, a blood transplant in like 1989 and you caught AIDS through that, then you have a good AIDS.
Good AIDS. Oh my God. That's hilarious.
That's pretty great.
Shows did you like? What shows did you like? Critically acclaimed or not? Which ones did you like?
When I was growing up. Oh, yeah.
Could you just turn the mic down a little bit?
Ooh.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. When I was growing up.
Kiss this mic for it to work. Sort of okay. Close, right? It works best that way, Sypha?
Just got to talk right into it. It's made for vocals.
Directional.
Mm-hmm. Right into it.
Sorry that Sypha just interrupted our podcast.
That's being edited out. So
really?
Okay.
Unless if you don't, and it's really meta. Ooh, podcast talk.
Okay.
So sketches when I was growing up were very, very character driven. Like a lot of repeated characters.
Like Catherine Tate stuff.
Catherine Tate, but even more than Catherine Tate, because I feel like Catherine Tate's sketches are still pretty like premise driven and gamey.
Yeah.
Harry Enfield, the Harry Enfield show, was a huge thing.
I don't know it.
Most famous for being the voice of the Expedia garden gnome
in
this country. Oh. You will recognize his voice.
That I recognize, yeah. One of my favorite sketches.
Yeah. But he's a really, really fantastic sketch comedian, very, very big, very broad.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't feel out of place with those kind of big SNL kind of characters.
Okay.
And then The Fast Show, which was an offshoot of that, but a little kind of darker and quirkier, much, much, it was faster. There was essentially like a lot of blackout sketches, but still like very character driven.
Okay.
And then The League of Gentlemen, which is incredible. Mm. I love that show. It's like a horror sketch show, but like those kind of weird psychodrama Wicker Man style 1970s LSD induced horror movies. And the third series especially is so dark. They don't have a lot. It's like the first thing that doesn't have a laugh track on it. It was about the same time as The Office came out, I guess.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's really, really dark. It's scary, which you wouldn't think would work for a sketch show, but it does. Yeah. And they're just such great, and again it's like character sketches, but they're like really intense, really, really committed, super creepy, funny characters. And they also did a sitcom called Psychoville.
Oh, I watched that.
Which is great.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
and really scary, funny. Right? There's bits of it that are genuinely like, oh, this is terrifying.
It's funny and it's terrifying and it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun show. So you're watching all that and you're thinking like, I want to do this.
Yes,
okay.
And I spend a lot of time doing silly voices at school.
Well, I want to hear. Okay. Can I make you do them?
Yes.
This is really good. So this is your normal voice you're using right now.
I'm
right?
using my normal voice right
okay,
now.
Okay, so give us one of your
Scottish. Do a Scottish accent.
Well, there are a bunch of different Scottish accents. So,
okay,
like,
well,
if
know.
You're going to do like an Edinburgh accent, you're like a high class. Like a lot of people play doctors in British comedies. It's a very like a refined and pretty trustworthy accent. If you're going to do like a Glaswegian accent, it's like I've drank a lot of whiskey and it's like I smoke 16 fucking fags a day. So and the Highlands is up and down like this. Oh, hi, the new.
What other silly voices did you?
I'm just gonna throw her up.
Do
how about an American one? Just straight.
If I was gonna do like a normal, like straight up. Hey, I'm a normal person that has a normal voice.
Oof.
I would kind of talk like this. My stepdad is from Orange County, California. So, like, everyone there is, like, Toots Valley Girl.
Is that different from your Katie Holmes voice at all? Or is that
Katie
sort of...
Holmes is like, I mean, she talks pretty quiet. It's like out of the side of her mouth. Pacey. It's very, I mean, her voice isn't super distinctive. The reason that I can do that impression is because I kind of look like her a lot.
Right, right.
But yeah. It's like really soft and she does go up at the end of her voice like a lot.
That's fun.
That's great.
Southern? Southern American?
There was a Mardi Gras ball. Oh my god! Oh my goodness! It's like it's the closest to an English accent, a Southern accent, because the R's are the same.
Can you do Australian?
Yeah, I've got cousins in Melbourne, so it's like an accent that I grew up with. That's the thing. Like, I grew up around a lot of different accents. My stepdad is from here. I have family from the north of England and the south of England, and I had teachers from Scotland, and I have a very distinctive memory of being like maybe 6 or 7 in the car with my parents trying to do a Scottish accent.
Yeah, because that's a talent to be able to pick that up and do it.
Yeah,
we're all surrounded by a lot of accents, but to be able to do it as well as you just did it now is...
It's super awesome.
I've worked on it as a child in a weirdly obsessive, compulsive, strange way.
I'm going to say it. Voices are fun.
Yeah.
They are fun. Yeah.
I'm curious about this. To be good at something, you have to work at it.
How does that work?
You do.
We're improvisers.
You have to put in the time.
We don't do something a second time, and we also don't rehearse. Don't worry. We also do podcasts. Sorry.
So this is a really well-rehearsed podcast.
Oh, my God. This is like the fifth draft. Yeah.
Yeah. We put it up last month. It didn't go well, so we're doing it again this month.
That's right.
So you're attending Bristol. You said you were directing some things.
Yeah.
You're not really doing any comedy.
I directed some comedy. I did a bunch of musical theater. There was an improv group there that was terrible. Oh my god, they
were. Were you in
so,
the improv group?
No. I was. Oh, those people don't know what they're doing. I'm not going to get involved in that.
Right.
Improvisers are always a bad sign.
I'm not very good at doing things. Like, it's bad, but it's fun. I don't want to do that. Uh-huh. I would much rather do something that was really hard and not that pleasant, but ended up good.
Well, thanks for coming on this podcast.
You're welcome. No, they were just. I don't know. They were annoying people, and they didn't have a coach or a teacher, and they just bought improv books. And then
did they have a pun in the name of the group?
Honestly, I think they would just call that improv group.
Okay,
did have a name, I have wiped it from my memory because I didn't respect them
enough.
Shepherd's
pie in the face.
They were part of the...
Get out of here. I mean, it's bad. Actually, that pun's bad in every way.
They were an offshoot of the Panto Society, which was already bad. The pantomime in England is... In concept, it's such a good idea, Panto. It's like... And like it evolved from Commedia dell'arte. It's the Christmas show that goes on at every theater in England.
I think Monty Python has like the pantomime horse will show up in
occasional
sketches.
Pantomime horses. It's like a lot of tropes. It's a fairy tale. The prince is always played by a woman. The stepmother is played by a man. Mm-hmm. A lot of leg slapping and ridiculous like audience participation.
Oh, wow.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. Or it's really not fun.
Yeah.
So did you have an idea while you were directing and seeing this bad improv that, like, I would eventually like to perform comedy? I would eventually like to do it.
I actually at university thought, I'm going to end up being a director. And I moved to New York and I was like, I got an internship with a casting director who turned out to be insane. He was a insane person.
Okay.
So I kind of stopped doing that fairly quickly and I was... working in a restaurant, and I felt like I was learning more from working in a restaurant than I was just as like how to interact with other human beings and how to have a conversation with 50 people a night and not make it boring.
Right.
And how to work, I don't know, be on your feet for 8 hours and not show that is painful to do, which it is.
Yes.
So you had the idea that you were like, I'm going to move to America.
Yeah. Okay. I came here when I was 21 for my birthday. I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll move here.
Oh, okay.
It's, in hindsight, a really ridiculous
That's pretty impulsive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of bummed around and worked in restaurants for about a year and a half. I almost took classes at UCB like 5 different times, and I chickened out of it because it was like, oh, this is a big scary thing. Oh,
wow. What year is this?
I moved here at the end of 2007, like December 2007. So this is like 2008, 2009.
Okay. What's happening?
What's that?
I can't remember what was happening.
2008, 2009.
I remember distinctly almost taking a class with Betsy Stover.
Okay.
And
that's when I first started working here, I think, 2007 or 8.
And I did see a couple of shows. I saw Let's Have a Ball, and I saw Gravid Water.
Okay. Oh.
Which is great.
Both terrific shows.
Yep. Yeah. I have a very distinctive memory of Rebecca Drysdale doing a scene from Dangerous Liaisons, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was ridiculous. So yeah, funny. But
so you were finally, after a few balks, you were finally able to get over the...
Well, I went back to England. I had a family member who was dying of cancer, which was super fun.
Yeah.
Here's the tip, guys. If you're going to get cancer, don't get a brain tumor. That's the worst. Like, that's a really depressing, really horrible, unpleasant...
There's some really fun cancers. You get the pedophiles in a room.
Yeah.
Get some fun cancer going.
Yep.
Now you got a good time.
You got a ball.
But you got some regular pedophiles.
Yeah.
And
with brain tumors.
Yeah. Brain tumors.
Those two different things.
Big bummer.
No fun.
Yeah.
So I went back and just, to be supportive of my family.
Of course.
And I was there. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? I don't want to be work in restaurants. This is not how I want to end up.
Yes.
Right.
With a broken body from standing up all night for 40 years.
Yeah.
Sounds bad.
And restaurant managers are just miserable people.
Oh, yeah.
They're people
terrible.
Who've given up on their dreams.
Yep.
And also, they get paid much less than the servers because the servers get paid in tips. And
I was a waiter for 2 months, and I was terrible at all times, in every way that you can be bad at being a waiter. I didn't actually drop anything, but in every other way, I was rude. I was slow. I forgot things.
See, that's surprising to me.
Didn't
like
food.
I feel like the same skills of being a waiter is the same skills as being an improviser.
That's true, but I was bad at improv for 5 years also.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, that's something that they say at Second City. When you start off there, I went to Chicago before I came to UCB. That's another step in the story, is that they say, you're going to suck for 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
So just be okay with it. Be okay with sucking
that's
for
true.
That time.
Yeah, that's true of everybody with me.
Just work really hard, and then... Maybe after 5 or 6 years, you'll be good.
I wouldn't say 5 or 6.
5 or 6?
I think 2 is a good number to tell.
It
depends. I feel like the end of the second year, you feel like yourself doing it.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of moments of hope before that, I think.
But if say 5 or 6, then at the end of 2, you're doing well. You're like, oh my God, I've beaten the curve.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
so
true.
Ahead of the game.
That's true, yeah.
I'm doing great.
Like
I have
everything
to carry
else,
on.
It's not a straight line. You know what I mean? It's not like a...
Right,
a
cyclical.
Yeah, it's sort of ups and downs and things like
maybe
that.
Maybe a sine wave.
Depends on... There you go. There's a lot of other factors. Wait a minute. Tell us about that. You went to Chicago.
I went to Chicago. I was broke, and my mom was living in Chicago at the time, so I moved back in with my mom.
Okay,
it's pretty cool.
You're too hard on yourself for your 20s. Everybody spends their 20s, and in fact, their entire lives wondering
moving
what they should
back
be
in
doing
with
next.
Their mom eventually.
Well, just like not knowing what you're doing next, being unsure of it, wishing you were doing something further, looking back at your previous year and a half, and seeing that it could have been smoother.
Yeah,
and certainly your 20s, there's completely no society would not find anybody at fault for being in 25 and what am I doing, or any time in
right.
there. I mean, I'm doing it now, it's always frustrating.
Yeah.
And it's no fun, I would imagine, to have been on your own and then to move back with your family. That's certainly
sure.
When I was 22, I was in a bunk bed with my youngest brother because that's just how I moved home, and I moved into a upper bunk.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
When I was 22, I was sleeping in the basement of my father's house on
good.
A pull-out couch.
Great.
Nice.
So,
great, yeah.
Yeah. And I say basement. I'm not talking about a finished basement here. I'm talking about a cement room
yeah.
with a silverfish that probably crawled on my face while I slept.
Yeah, that's real serial killer surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a pile of moldy books next
yeah.
to me.
I thought you were going
to
say a pile of moldy bodies.
Me too.
I should have.
The second act of a Thomas Harris novel, Silence of the Lambs type of situation.
Right. So you move back home. You move to Chicago, move back in with your mother. And
yes.
Chicago's great.
Yeah.
That'd be a great place to have to go to.
Yeah. It was convenient because then I was well, I'm here. I'm going to go to Second City.
Yeah.
Took classes there. Yeah. Did their lower level program.
Cool. Okay.
What was that like for you?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great. People here are very snobby about short form. There's no short form here.
That's right.
I really enjoy short form. I
yes.
think it's great. And I think it's also a really great way of teaching.
I think I'm going to maybe miss this grain of salt for what I'm about to say, but I believe that I heard Andy Daly, super funny actor and performer, big time improviser in LA, and he was in New York. I think when he was on The Swarm,
yep.
And they were well regarded, heralded team, I think he was in McManus telling people, it's like, short form is great training for long form. Like, to make snap decisions, to come up with specifics, to train yourself to be funny. Like, what? Why is that bad training? Like, it doesn't have to be all that you do.
Yeah.
He similarly was more just like, it's funny. It's good. Like, why do people shit on it?
Yeah.
Furthermore, I would go as far as saying I would rather watch bad short form than bad long form.
Oh, no, that's true. I think this is the short form has a higher floor.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't fail as far as long form can fail. But it's also got a lower ceiling. Like, it's controlled, I think. Like, there's rules in place.
That's the thing.
The act of it is, if the rules are fun, the audience is like, oh, I'd like to see how these people do at this procedure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's entertaining. And then however well you do is gravy. It's not a poorly designed... show,
because with short form there's a game going into it. You know what the game is going to be,
so
you, even if it's bad, you're watching a game. You're watching people try to play a game. With bad long form, it's like, we don't know what the game is, and we're just going to fight for 5 minutes.
Well, if you find it together and do something funny, it is more impressive and more artistically satisfying. But you can also descend into either arbitrary empty group hugging or just sniping shapelessly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think that's – I would agree with you, and I'm a long-form advocate of the most indoctrined and brainwashed order. And I think that bad short form is not going to be as bad long-form because it can't get as bad.
Yeah.
But I would say the good short form is not as –
You know that there's an end to the game.
Right.
But there's just a limited appetite for it. Like, you can't watch – or this is my opinion, Siobhan.
You can't watch 800.
You can't watch as much.
Is it anyway?
Yeah, you can't do it. Like, even, like, the best people doing it, it becomes the same very early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I still, even in my most jaded, find long form interesting. Even bad long form is interesting to me, but I have a sickness.
Okay, I want to jump ahead to...
Fair enough. See, I'm telling you.
I want to spend some time talking about Maude Night and the process of Maude Night for you. So let's jump ahead a little bit to Maude Night. And you applied as a... You submitted as a writer?
I submitted as a writer and as an actor.
Okay, right. And your submission, I wish I still had it. Nate Dern might still have it. But you submitted this wonderful map.
Yeah. Well, I am... You have to write a letter.
Right.
As a writer applying to Maude.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, hi, I'm a writer. I want to be a writer on a Maude team.
You have to write a cover letter like
that I've written.
Yeah.
I think they're funny. I hope you do too. And that's like a shitty letter to have to write for every, you know, any kind of application letter is like, oh,
the cover
letter is
always the worst. It's the thing that you struggle over, even though it's fucking pointless.
Right. Or you like, oh, fuck, it's 5 minutes until this has to be in. I need to write a cover letter. And then you half ass it.
Right.
So I wrote out like a flowchart, a mind map. Which one is it called in this country? Flowchart.
Yeah.
What else did you call it?
Mind map.
Oh.
I'd rather it be called that.
Well, because in England, a flowchart is one of those like, is the dwarf's beard got braids in it? If yes, it goes this way, because that flows.
That is a
Whereas if you've got a thing in the middle and then things come out of it.
That's also a mind map, but just no one knows what that is.
That's a mind map. So you've got a thesis in the middle.
Yeah, this is like a brainstorming exercise.
That's what you did. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a flowchart. It was,
So yeah, it's a brainstorming
exercise. It's just
not
known as a, that has not become a thing that people know about. But a flowchart, is like diagonal.
So that's how they teach you how to do essays in England. Like you do a mind map and then you make that into your points of your essays.
Okay.
So I did one of those to write the cover letter and then I was like, actually, this is kind of cool. Instead of writing a cover letter, I'm going to get a huge piece of paper and draw this out really nicely of all of the points that I want to make within my, you know, and I did some doodles on it.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
I stayed up all night doing it.
Well, it was worth it because we
And then
liked
I got on a team. So, you know.
For that reason only.
For that reason only. It's like, well, she's a fine actor, but this mind map is really cool.
Yeah.
She's
she'll organize
the brainstorming
sessions.
What you did for your audition?
Yes. I
remember you did a bunch of voices.
I did a bunch of voices.
It was great. It was really impressive.
I did a guided tour of Great Britain. So I did every region character.
Okay.
You were like on the phone for a lot for some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like 15 different characters.
Okay.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is the way to do it.
It's a way. It was great.
It's a way. Like I feel like if you do three characters, you got to be really, really confident that those characters are funny. Because right. if one of them bombs, you're stuck in that character for
I don't
a
know.
Minute.
I mean, like,
you
it's,
only it, have 3 minutes.
I think that's the
there's
thing.
There's something
is,
to be said for that.
Is,
there's no formula for this,
right.
I think.
No, not at
movies.
All.
But the idea is that what you did is what you thought was funny.
Exactly.
And you thought it was going to show you off. Like,
and
that's
the thing
the
about,
idea.
Yeah. The Mort Edition is purposefully vague, I think.
What do you mean by that?
Because it's like, it's you have 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Be funny yeah. in those 3 minutes. And it shows that, I don't know, you can write things, that you can come up with funny things
it's
on your own.
It's terrifying and
it is
structureless.
Absolutely
but
terrifying.
Like, you don't know who's going to be good at what. Like, for somebody yeah. else doing that many voices would be, like, the not the way to show
no,
off
not at all.
How they're right. great. Didn't Cuthill come in and just do a monologue from Shakespeare, but he did, like, super intense, kind of sweaty
what he did.
Macbeth monologue
That's
or something
really
like
funny.
That?
I forget.
I mean, Cuthill is insane at all yeah. times. He radiates insanity. He sounds crazy. Super committed, but he's also like his kind of leading man.
Yeah, he
looking
kind of looks like
yeah.
Roger
dude.
Moore.
Yeah, so he can just come in. If he yeah. came in and just like really like laid in, I only heard about it. I didn't see it laid into some model. It could be hilarious.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is impossibly hard to tell
it's
what's going to
really,
be good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's we want to see that you are funny and can like play. I don't know. There's it's
like
it's
Mirabelli did three characters and they were. They were
right.
all
That's
fun
the thing.
And great.
If you show right. us, if in three characters you can show us that you can play a range of people, that you sort of get what the UCB, what we're looking for on Maud Night, and
yeah.
that you do what you think is funny.
And Kelly Hudson did like five, and she also returned to them a second time.
Yeah.
She did like five really quickly, and then did second beats of them sort of
wow. mm-hmm.
fast. It was yeah. all pretty quick. I mean,
yeah.
I might be remembering this somewhat.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. it's a terrifying process. I didn't.
Yeah,
I knew Delaney, who was like on
yeah.
the board of people doing
yeah,
the audition.
Was that, yeah,
right.
My memory of it is like through a pinprick hole because my vision got so focused because I was so stressed out about it that I was seeing in like a 2-inch circle.
Sure.
And I was going to be late for work because they were running ever so slightly behind time. So I was like, oh, can I jump in? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the most terrifying things I've done in my life.
Auditions are terrifying
yeah.
always.
Yes. And especially like when you don't, like if you have sides, at least you have like, oh, at least I said the words in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how do you measure even how well you've done? There's
exactly.
no way to,
because you have
really
no
difficult.
Idea. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you're like, oh, I was right for this role.
Right. So, but you did it, and
I
you got
it.
Onto Maud Night. And so, what was that first month of Maud for you like?
It was terrifying. I'm not very good at just being like, "Oh my god, this thing is amazing that I'm doing." Like, I maybe have like a moment of that, and then my stomach drops. It's like, "Oh, this is a real thing that I have to do, and these people are really good. And
yeah.
are they going to hate me?" And especially being on a team. With mostly veterans.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, you feel like, oh, like...
They already know what they're doing.
Right.
It was Beige that was the all-new team, I think, at that time.
It was.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's a weird challenge in, like, sort of a team-based system when there's a mixture of rookies and veterans. Like, they're just in different... Even regardless
right.
of them being separate human beings that have their own temperaments, they're mm-hmm. in different places.
And there's no, like, guidebook when you get on a team.
Right.
Like you just kind of have to figure it out and be okay with asking questions that
yeah.
might
and
seem
and how
dumb.
Much are you supposed to put your opinion forward? Like,
yeah,
oh,
or
I like this,
like,
or I don't like this.
Am I allowed
this,
to go into every show at the theater? Am I allowed? Can I just do that? Or
yeah.
it's like, is there a special thing that I have to do? Is there a card?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do I talk to? What am I supposed to do?
That's true. Yeah, there's no real orientation process
yeah.
for that.
Maybe we should have some kind of orientation email for like
do
a,
you?
Like,
it's kind of a little bit more systematized in terms
no,
of like if you're
for running shows we do, but maybe for like new performers it should be like here's what you're.
It is tough. The people who are running the theater have by definition been around for long enough that they forget what it's like
things.
When and also the community has changed. Like it's larger and more impenetrable than
right.
when I was mm-hmm. in that position. I mean, I still remember like waiting in line and sort of oh. I kind of like when I got put on Herald Night. Do I still wait in line for others? I would go into Herald Night all the times, but other shows I waited.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like no one knew who I was.
Mm-hmm. Did you have moments in the first month of Maud Night where you were like you felt like you had done something embarrassingly wrong or something like that, or any kind of like gaffes? Like a lot of times we have moments in new situations where it's like, whoops, I said the wrong thing there, or I feel like I said the wrong thing, or
did
the wrong
thing. Did your obsessive compulsiveness drive you to insanity in these first couple of months?
Thank you for modifying my
yeah.
question.
I think my obsessive compulsiveness always drives me
yeah, okay.
right to the edge of insanity. my trouble always is when I'm stressed out is that I tend to like hide in a corner.
Uh-huh.
And okay. like, oh, don't worry about me. Don't look at me. I'm fine. I just yeah. carry on. I'm not important. I'll just be over here. And which is not the best when you're trying to be an actor who's funny on stage.
Right.
Who has to, you know, project lines and say things funnily and interact with other funny people.
Sure.
I don't feel like I had one major moment of... Mm-hmm. Maybe I did. And I just blanked it from my memory. Maybe other people will be able to tell you better than me.
Oh, yeah. She had a complete meltdown.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were like, who
don't
is
you
this?
Remember
oh, yeah.
when she was having that panic person. Attack on stage?
She just like fell into like, she just fell. She collapsed into a heap and didn't move for 20 minutes. No one's told her. She snapped up and continued her line. We've never let her know.
there was a sketch in, it was the last sketch in our first show that was a lineup, police lineup. Mm-hmm. Sketch okay. and the joke was
everyone do a mind map no
everybody do a mind map no it was me and Justin Brown and John couldn't figure out who the criminal
Justin
was
Brown
which is
being
ridiculous
a
Justin
black
Brown being
male
a black
and you being a blonde haired
yeah.
white
six
woman
foot four yeah
you look exact opposites
we could not be
so you're in a lineup together
people. And he's like yes it's one of those people
oh,
definitely
hilarious.
One of those
yeah, I remember that sketch
and Amber Nelson came on to give us the line that we were supposed to
yeah
like give me your fucking wallet or something
yeah
and she'd written something I don't remember what it was but it was just obscenely like revolting
yeah
on this piece of paper and we both opened it up and I nearly collapsed
yeah
it was so funny and I had to be so serious in this
yeah.
scene
uh-huh. yeah
and yeah
what's your opinion on tumbling about promoting your show for 1 million times I feel like every Saturday and Sunday, if I follow people on Tumblr,
yeah.
like I'll see their mod show being promoted a million times.
Yeah,
I'm not really on Tumblr. I have a Tumblr. I never really use it.
Okay, that's good.
But I do that on Facebook. But I also feel like people go to Mod Night whether you promote it or not.
It's promoting always helps. I didn't mean to talk down to promoting. What I actually thought about was when the prom formed, I feel like you guys had a video that came out pretty
oh, we
soon
did.
After you formed.
Yeah,
like,
we did like a little intro to the prom.
It was really cool.
Oh, yeah, I remember
yeah,
that.
John Millhiser made that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was like almost like an SNL opening, like kind of shots at night.
Yeah,
and, like,
in the city.
Looking sort of cool with
we
graphics,
we were just
right?
yep. like walking around and there was a white limo there, which was perfect because
yeah.
that's our bumper for
that was like really
videos.
Soon after you guys mm-hmm. formed it. I think that's why I thought, oh, the prom must be all new people because they still give a shit. Not really. But like they, you know, they put this work into like promoting
right.
something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it locked into my head as like new. But yeah, I guess most mm-hmm. people had been on other groups.
Well, I think I'm very, very happy that I'm on the prom because they are, you know, a lot of them are
seems
veterans.
Like
but people work really hard on that team.
Yeah,
it's not
like
a selfish
group.
Team.
Yeah,
yeah. People, it's just about like making the best show that we can make.
Yeah,
yeah. That's some luck involved though. Like you know, the teams that don't put themselves together. You don't know how well.
Oh, you have
every
no
team
idea.
Wants to
it's
do
a crap
good show.
Of,
nobody
like,
walks in and be like, "I hope we do a bad show."
Right.
But like sometimes decisions get made easier. Sometimes yeah. people are just roughly more on the same page or have the same amount of time and effort available. Mm-hmm. Like that
yeah.
makes a difference.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of specific approach or technique to like reading sketches or getting into like understanding? Parts and sketches.
Is prepared the word you're looking for?
Yeah.
Prepared.
I mean, like, I guess I'm inadvertently slamming two questions into one. One, when you first get the
yes.
sketch, do you have any kind of approach to, like, how you're going to read it? Or is it just, like, I'm just going to read this and see what happens? And then also, like, do you have any kind of approaches to preparing for and getting more familiar with parts?
I think fear is a great driver for me. Like, if I don't generally learn my lines until, I've really got to learn my lines. And I try all the time to be, like, more organized about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... Also, like, our writing process is very, very fluid. Mm-hmm. Like, we're rewriting things often until, like, the night before.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be rewriting right. sketches. So yeah. it's a little bit of a challenge to, like, learn a sketch and then have it...
Change under you.
Completely change underneath
yeah.
you. I think that having an emotion and, like, caring... as much as the character cares, or if the character on the page doesn't care about something, making them care about it is for me the best way to.
I think I heard you
it.
Talking yeah. about this, like even if you sort of just have like a straight man part in the sketch where you're
yeah.
sort of just sort of, you know, one of those sketches where your role is to facilitate
But if I'm a straight man in life, I still have an opinion about it.
Right.
Like if somebody's doing something crazy, I'm very opinionated about them doing something crazy. Yeah. Why are you doing that crazy thing?
Yeah, that's the way you were toward the short form group in your university.
Yeah. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
What's with Pantos, you said to them, with a bewildered look on your face. What's going on with this?
God, that Panto sock. I'm sorry. There's nobody who's going to was in that Panto sock that's going to be listening to this.
Cut to.
Right. We're pretty huge.
People crying. pantomime horse with tears being painted on its head.
Yeah, it's true. Like you, even in if you're a straight character in an improv scene, you have an opinion. It's the opinion that makes you the straight character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have a reaction to the unusual behavior.
It is its own sort of challenge.
Yeah.
Did and you have a second half of the question that I?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, I know. That helps me like learn my lines as well. Like if I care about it, if I don't feel like I care about the character, then I don't find it easy to learn lines. And there's occasions where you get that character that's like, I'm the person that tells you how to speak. And then now it's my turn to tell you to speak.
Yeah.
And your lines are very disjointed, and that's always like the hardest.
So it's hard being on Mod Night, right? I mean, it's like
it's
a big
hard.
Challenge.
It's a lot of work. I mean, you get,
huge time commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't appreciate
you get
that.
New sketches every week, practically. I mean, you get the same ones, you know, like as the show's kind of forming, but.
The writers generally write between 3 and 5 sketches every month.
Mm-hmm.
Those get whittled down. To 1 sketch each. Sometimes you might not even get a sketch in the show. There's one writer who has 2 extraordinarily funny sketches, and your sketch isn't as funny as either of those sketches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, different teams work differently.
No, that's common. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that's generally how it is. We want to put the best show on. Everybody has their hand in every single sketch, the actors and writers.
Mm-hmm.
Our process is very... we do a lot of improv. Like, especially in the first read-through, like, we'll often... read through the sketch and then put the sketch down and improvise the scene and come up with other beats and jokes and
that's a good approach.
Yeah, and like letting it be fluid, trying not to be too egotistical about it.
Sure. Yeah.
And then although it's fun, the difficulty of Mod, I think, as it's evolved, is that you often don't do something a second time, and so it is I mean, that's tough because you learn a lot about it the first time you put it up in front of an audience. I feel like you get a sense over where it's dragging that maybe you didn't appreciate before, or that something hits more than you thought, like, oh, that reveal really landed, like this, we could have jumped ahead of this first beat total or something like that.
And sometimes also like the thing that you as a team thinks is hilarious at 2 o'clock in the morning at tech.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
It's not the thing that's actually funny.
Yeah.
And one particular audience has a different feel than another, certainly.
Yeah. I absolutely. Can't tell you how many times as like a writer or a director for Mod teams, like a line, like the second or third line of a sketch will get a huge laugh and you're like, oh shit, that was the game. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, it was like, well, you're going to watch 3 more minutes of a sketch that isn't that thing you just laughed at. So.
Oh, God. I directed a team, and there was a sketch that Rob Weber was in, which I really adored, and I apologized to Rob Weber. Actually, the sketch actually went over fine, but, like, it went over okay.
Right.
And I had adored it the entire time. It was a Boys Are Back in Town sketch, John Frusciante. You would love this.
Uh-huh.
You would love the idea of this, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Boys Are Back in Town, this 70s classic rock song.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob was a DJ who was obsessed with that song, so he was finding excuses just to play it over and over again. So that's here and there. But what I loved about Weber's performance was every time he said the boys, he popped up his shoulder for some reason. Like, oh, the boys are back in town. I got to come over and like, the boys are this, that, or the other, and the boys are back in town. And that just made me giggle for whatever reason. I was like, oh, do it more. Pop your shoulders constantly. Like, look for more reasons to say that and do that. And he did it, and the audience kind of smiled at it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. And I was like, oops. Oops.
And you can't get out of it. It's not like improv. You're like, oh, this is the thing that I think is going to be funny. Oh, they didn't laugh at it. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. Right.
If that's the game of the sketch and you're nobody's sort of laughing at it, you have to keep on doing that.
Yeah.
You and can't
it did
stop.
Go over
In
okay.
In fact, you have to do it more until they laugh at it.
Mm-hmm. I had implied that behind the door of that shoulder popping was a golden fleece, and it was not. It was a warmly accepting
fleece.
Grin. Yeah, regular fleece was the only thing that he saw.
What kind of characters or things do you like to do on Mod Night?
I guess, in general. Big, ridiculous characters. I think it's really... I mean, why are we doing sketch comedy if we can't do a stupid voice and wear a wig and jump around being crazy?
Right. I concur.
I mean, I just think that's really fun. I really like doing really physical stuff. I keep on pitching, one day maybe we'll do it, doing like an entirely silent Maud show.
I would love
that. Wow. Whole show.
Whole show. Silent Maud
Exciting.
Show.
I would love that.
Do the Charlies ever get to do that? I feel like sometimes if you put yourself together doing indie shows, it's easier to just decide to do something.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing something that's a little bit more crazy. But I don't want to say unless it doesn't happen.
I understand.
Right, of course, yeah.
Suddenly we went to Chicago Sketch Fest last year and we did like a whole shadow puppet runner, which was really fun and dumb. And
shadow puppet is just like fingers making puppets?
No, I made shadow puppets.
And what does that mean? Is this another mind map thing where I don't quite know what it is?
No, it's like it's behind a sheet with a light, but then you make like cardboard.
So it's the silhouette
puppets.
Of this cutout.
Exactly.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yeah. You're also working on a show that you've submitted for Spank, right? That was supposed to go up last month.
It was supposed to go up last month.
Something happened. It was the hurricane, right? That's what happened.
Yes.
Did you really not remember that?
No,
you looked genuinely bewildered at what happened. There was a hurricane. The whole
hurricane?
City shut down
really?
For a week and a half.
It was really boring. God, it was
That's
so
what
dull.
Happened.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, the subway stopped running.
Huh.
The bottom of Manhattan was like I Am Legend. Like there was nothing going on.
That's
there.
An Achilles Stamatolaki original
that's
joke.
Right.
I'm going to read about it when I'm on Ortley Beach this weekend. I have big plans to go to Ortley Beach and Seaside Heights,
oh,
New
boy.
Jersey.
We're going to have a talk after this. Come to my place at Far Rockaway and I'll tell you all about it. We shouldn't make jokes about it. It was like a horrible tragedy.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, boy. What have we ruined in this podcast? We've made jokes about pedophilia,
AIDS,
brain cancer.
Oh, God.
And now Hurricane Sandy.
You're welcome, everybody.
Fuck 9/11, I guess. I mean, like, well, we should just keep going. Everything else, just throw it underboard.
So this was a... wait a minute. I'm getting a couple of different Spank shows confused.
Okay,
in
the
mind.
Show
so
that
can you remind
I wrote.
Me what yours is?
Yes. It is a parody of. Those really horrible true crime shows that are on television that I occasionally watch out of shame. My sister watches them obsessively, like 48 Hours, Forensics Files, Extreme Forensics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's that, but live on stage with just like a few actors playing all of the different parts.
Okay, that's fun.
It's pretty dumb. yep. That's it. It's pretty dumb.
That's good. That's enough to sell me.
Yep.
That is, actually.
I'm in.
So beyond Maud Night,
yes.
What are you like? What are you working on, or what are you looking to do? Like, what are your aspirations? You think?
Well, I
to be a waiter
would like to be a really good waiter. No, I just quit my waiting job, which is very exciting. 10 years of waiting, cool. And I am done waiting.
Good.
For now. I'm working at a website called UGO with a bunch of UCB people. Okay. So Jason Sines,
right. Yes. Oh,
Jeremy
I forgot
Bent,
to ask you about that.
David Lovebound, Patrick Mahoney. Mm-hmm. Love working with them. I say that with the full and set knowledge that they will be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
You're writing over there? Is that
I'm writing and performing. Mm-hmm. We're doing like dumb entertainment news videos mm-hmm. with a bunch of bits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bunch of silly bits with
was Weird Al Yankovic over there? Did I see a picture
of
Dave Love Band?
He was there. He was there my first day that I was there.
Ooh, wow.
And, yeah, and we were all like, and he turned up like 2 hours early, and everybody was like, "Oh fucking shit, fucking
yeah,
Weird Al's here already! Oh my god!" If you go and Jason was the most flustered I've ever seen.
I wouldn't know what to say to Weird Al.
Love Band was as well, but he wasn't interviewing him.
Yeah.
And Jason had to sit there and be like professional interview him and like.
I've heard
talk
that Weird Al is like super
he was nice
and sweet dude, but
yeah.
I would prefer
really, really
if he was
nice.
Like a power hungry diva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throwing desks and like taking his dick out and like and like slamming back whiskey at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
Being like, Weird's here. Talking about himself in the third person.
Yeah.
And calling himself Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him once. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, Dave Bloodband is like so starstruck. He's like, okay, I just get a picture with you. Thank you.
Like, I bet you Weird Al Yankovic walks into rooms and be like, that person wants their picture with me. Like he looks around the room and he's like,
oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Dave Bloodband, that's the guy.
Yeah, that's the one.
He sees you, Siobhan. He's like, Siobhan's not going to want her picture. Bloodband's going to want his picture with me.
So yeah, that's really exciting. It's fun. It's fun to actually get paid to be doing the sillies instead of just doing it for free. Not that I don't love doing it for free as well, don't we all?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
What's the dream? What's the goal for you? What's the big, the brass ring?
Oh, you know, to be a real actor. That would be fun. You know, to be like...
Doing
to have
what?
Like a real show.
Like
it would be fun to have a sitcom or like a sketch show that wasn't like terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most TV sketch shows are mediocre. Mm-hmm.
But I dream of doing a terrible one. So the pressure's off.
Yeah. You are really upset that Fox News sketch show got canceled, right? Because
I'm pitching it still. I'm going
to
bring it back.
Well, you are famously conservative.
Yeah,
you're a famously
my political view. I mean,
right wing.
That Connecticut upbringing.
I like small government and
big guns.
I think that white men get a short shrift in this country.
Also, too many women. There are just too
many.
I didn't say
in this
it,
in this
but
country.
I have.
Did you have any other questions?
No, last week's podcast was so good. I'm really trying to take myself out of it. I'll send you, Siobhan, I'll send you some DVDs of Harold's from like 2001, 2002.
Cool.
And then we can
talk. Do you want to talk about 27 Kidneys? There's an old.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
27 Kidneys is great. Chris Kelly, Christine Nagle, the SNL machine.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good team.
Yeah.
That should be the prep for this podcast.
You're saying it as a joke, but I'm ready to talk about 27 Kidneys.
We book people on this podcast and send them old Harold's to watch in preparation.
We should do that, or I should.
Sorry, do you really have old Harold's on tape?
Yeah, I got like four or five of them. I will send them to you.
You do. That's right.
Yeah, the Bang's first Harold night with Pat Bear. That we have a Bastion Harold.
But there's some older tapes of Harold shows floating around, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. I have a Respecto from 2001 I can send you. Yeah. It's not a great Respecto, which I just normally they killed it.
Well,
this particular night they were off.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why,
yeah.
Why isn't there like a lot of improv on the site?
There should be.
Because all right, fine. If it doesn't transfer well to film, like people say, but for us nerds that want to go watch an improv on the site, why isn't it there? It's like
laziness.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Bieber did start to like there are selected scenes now from like Stepfathers and
like Faggotron.
Curfew and
Faggotron's great.
Right. Faggotron is the name of a sketch that the Stepfathers seen, by the way, not a group, and it's also just not a normal vocabulary word that he's throwing around.
I think without
your dad's a total Faggotron was the scene that the Stepfathers improvised.
I wish there was more of that.
Well, without getting too much into it, I think there are some issues with UCB comedy right now. I think there's a backlog.
The site has technical issues, but also filming improv. Bieber did make a concerted effort, three camera with an editor to capture improv better.
Yeah.
There is some.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Todd Bieber, the director of UCB comedy,
whatever
his actual title is.
Mm-hmm.
And, member of Huxtable.
The Lloyd Team Huxtable. Wow. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should come by every week and help us out with annotations at the very least.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to butt in. But
No.
Hey, Cypher, I think you found your next project.
There should be, and there is there's probably a little more
busy,
than
right?
you're aware
you
of.
Right. And I think there
Keaton,
might...
get a camera!
I think there's a backlog of some stuff. That's a more of a Todd question than a me question, but I think there are...
Basically, there should be and there will be.
Yeah.
Good.
And it's just logistics and effort that have prevented it.
You can see all of the Maud sketches on UCB Comedy.
That's right. Yeah.
Maud was the first one they did because sketch translates a little better, so a lot of Maud was captured, and I think a lot of that is still being edited and put up. And then he moved on to improv... And it's just, we just haven't gotten there. I've answered it four times in a row. Same
Great.
Way. I'm sorry.
All right. I think that's it.
That's
right?
it.
Siobhan, thank you for...
I don't want to go.
I don't want to end this, but you know.
Thank you for coming on and being someone who's been part of the UCB community since after 2006.
That's right. Yeah.
2010
first for us.
Was my first classes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Terrific. And for being a Maud guest. We're trying to get more sketch and more writing to mix in with the improv,
mm-hmm.
I think. Right, John? I'm looking at you. That's something we're trying to.
Let me ask you this one more question. I mean, it's an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. After you've been on Maud Night for a year now.
Yes.
You've been on the prom for 1 year. Is it still rewarding for you? Do you
what
still...
is she going to say?
Absolutely. It really, really is. And I feel like I learn... It's such a steep learning curve, even now after a year. Like, I feel like... And, God... Everybody is so good. Like, it makes you really raise your game.
So you're still, there's still people that you're like, I gotta get as good as this person, or I gotta
learn
how
to do
this.
Oh, yeah, I'm on a team with Michael Hartney right now.
Yeah, Hartney's
a
weird inferno.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, God, there's so many. Everybody on Maud is really, really talented. Mm-hmm. And it's true that sometimes people don't have the best shows. We've had bad shows, God knows. Sure. But it's not because the people aren't ridiculously talented. And
It's true. The mod rosters are insane.
And you said, of course, as if I mean, look, it's an obvious thing, but you know, this is how a podcast works. You ask questions to get people to open up and share what's
in
their minds.
Write this down. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm over it. I'm done. this is my resignation.
Expect her to say she didn't like it, but you know what? If she did say she didn't like it, that would also be a valuable podcast moment.
Oh. No, I count my lucky stars that I'm there every day. I feel entirely unworthy for most of the time.
Do you still feel like that? Do you still feel unworthy?
There are times when I still feel incredibly unworthy, and then I work harder,
Just power through it.
Yeah, you power through it, and you make it okay with yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a common feeling.
Try not to beat myself up too much. Mm-hmm. I do, but I try not to.
All right, well, thank you, Siobhan, so much for coming in. This has been really great.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Saifa.
Thank you, Saifa.
Keaton, good job.
Thank you, Keaton. Really
great.
Great
job. You sat really well in that chair.
Great job.
Thank you. You too, Will. It's good to have you back. I didn't know what to do without you last week.
You were fine.
Okay. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Words are trivial.